Normally at this time of the year, we would do an AGM, and that would include a review of our finances and a review of the year and what we've done this year, and a look forward to what next year might hold. Now, we're going to change things a little bit this year. I hadn't realized that given that our financial year is January to December, that asking Greg to do the finances now for an update meant that he had to do them all over again in January, so it was twice the work. So what we've decided to do is do that part of it, particularly, next year in February, and it's going to work in with something else that we're going to do as well. So we're not going to do the financial update now, today. We're going to just do a quick review, a little bit of what has the year looked like, what have we done. And to that end, Janie has helped us out with a choice as highlights. Go to Caleb. Sorry, what's your name? Tobias. Awesome. Can you full screen that? Thank you, Janie. That's great work. Does them every year and does a fantastic job. Surprise you? Was it nice to go down that memory lane again and go, yeah, that's right, we did that. I remember that. Yeah, it's kind of pleasant, isn't it? The year goes so fast. It's very easy to forget what we've done. Great. So that means if I can click through. So I put a little bit of a list as well, a few extra things, other things that weren't covered and things that have been covered as doubles ups. Matariki number two, I'm proud of doing a Matariki festival. It's something that I think is important for our future, and we did year two this year and continuing that trend. This was the first year for Daniel Eyre in 24/7, and he's done a great job in that youth work. Is he here? New office admin, Donna, coming in, and thank you, you're doing a great job. Prayer events, we did 10 nights of prayer, 10 days of prayer, we did the 24 hours of prayer. a little bit extra this year. The teaching this year, we finished off a series in John. We did a series on the parables, and we've started one in Revelation. Worship team, in particular, one of my personal highlights has been working with a bunch of young, talented men, building them, and in fact, I think they give a lot more to me than I give to them, but we've regularly worked together on a Tuesday evening, worshipping and becoming a team, and you would have seen a clip there. We were invited to Raleigh Street to run a worship evening for them, which was fantastic, and did the worship for the Waikato Regional Conference for Triple CNZ, and that's all due to the talents of these guys, Ethan and Joel and Brad and Caleb, very, very decent men. Short-term men's group, one term, a bunch of age ranges, men talking about their lives, which was fantastic. Personal highlight as well. Life groups generally, always good, always important to us. The Christmas Cafe and the jolly old God stories. Our theme this year, right? So we aimed for 1,000. We got 135. We're so close. I feel like if we just gave it an extra little push. So what happened? What happened? So as I reflect, and have been reflecting a lot on this year, not just in the last few weeks, my impression, in a sense, of the year was it's been a momentum interruptus. Every time we tried to get something going, something would happen to disrupt it. Every time someone was in place to take on something, something happened to them to take them out. Every time, we've talked about this a bit as an eldership, it's been really hard to function well as an eldership with all the other events that have gone on in our lives that have made it really hard for us to sustain the level of oversight of the church. It's been a difficult year, not because anyone's been particularly fractious, the church is in good heart, it's just things have happened. Things we couldn't have predicted. Which is why I wanted to ask Philip Tetlock what happened this year and why did we get, say, 135 God stories when we were put. I know, 1,000 was ambitious, I know that. But what happens to a year? What happens to goals that we set and then we get to the end of the year and go, well, how far did we get with that? Now, Philip Tetlock is a Canadian-born psychologist. In 1987, he got really curious about experts and their ability to predict the future. He wondered, are they any good at it? So what he did is he gathered to himself 27,500 predictions from almost 300 experts, mostly in the fields of the political or geopolitical realm, some economists as well. And he sat there and waited for 18 years to see how well their predictions came through. How well do you think they did? Not very well. Not very well. In 2005, he produced a book which revealed the results of this experiment. And they were about as good at predicting as a monkey throwing darts. That good, yeah. So some of them hit the mark, but almost completely by accident. You first got to tell the monkey what to throw the dart at, right? And it was posed, is it because the world is just too complex? There's no way you can predict it. Or is it because experts are stupid? Or is it both? So we launched another project several years later. And this time he took a different approach. He just sent an email out to a wide database that he had, and he said, look, I'd invite you in. Log into the website, become part of this project, and according to whatever it is that you have a specialty in or are interested in, amateur or professional, it doesn't matter, make your predictions on what you think is going to happen in certain areas. And so that's what they did, and it was a widely done database. And some were done as teams, and some were given a bit of extra training and asked to try and help and see if that would help and make a difference. And the guy the guy I was listening to who was telling the story, he said he'd been asked as well. He was an author of the financial magazine, I can't remember his name, but He decided not to do it because he'd already been convinced by Tetlock's previous work that it was impossible. And he didn't want to, I guess, embarrass himself. But it turns out it's not impossible. It turns out there are some people who are actually pretty good at predicting what's going to happen. Not perfect, but better than most. And they called them the super predictors. And they have a particular way of attitude or way of thinking. It's called open-mindedness. Right? They don't hold too tightly to what they've predicted and what they think is going to happen. They look for more information on a continual basis to challenge their own thesis. They look for people who disagree with them and get into a bit of a debate with them and say, well, why do you think differently from me? To try and broaden their scope of information. And they keep changing their mind as things come in. These people do pretty well at predicting. Hear this really good quote, which kind of captured what he was trying to say. The world doesn't work the way we want it to, right? So when you predict, you always predict from I expect the world to work a certain way, and I expect it to work a way that I want it to work. But it does signal to us when things change. So it's not working as we want it to, but it is continually telling us, you're wrong, here's reality. If we pay attention and adapt, we let the world do most of the work for us. Isn't it encouraging? So the people who are really good at predicting are actually really good at noticing what's actually happening. Now, does that not fit a little bit with our notion of the God stories? We encouraged God stories because of the belief that God is at work in all things. And we would write it perhaps this way. God doesn't work the way we want him to, but he does signal to us when he is working. If we pay attention and adapt, we let God do most of the work for us. The idea was, if we notice what God is already up to, now we make plans, right? And in my case, or in our case as eldership, we were really hoping that the church would dig in with the idea of God's stories and try and notice them. And honestly, I think it's been a success. We haven't got the numbers we might have ambitious. No one else in the eldership is going, yeah, let's go 1,000. That was me. We might not have got the numbers, but we've got a change in the vernacular. We've heard lots of people talking about God's stories. There's been a shift. If I was looking for the numbers and determined to get 1,000, it might have been a little bit rough at times. I might have gone a little bit tough on you. But what was actually happening was actually good. We began to talk about what God was up to. Because we hope that we'll be much better at getting in sync with what God is already doing so that we can let God do most of the work for us, personally and corporately. There's wonderful scriptures that speak to this. Unless God builds, the people labor in vain. Psalm 127, I think it is. Fantastic. It's well worth reading. Unless God is building, we labor in vain. The question, of course, has always been, what is God building? The house. His house. And how? And where? And where is he particularly focused on at any given time? So we really encourage and continue to encourage as a church that we maintain a sensitivity to God at work. We are generally pleased about the process and what it has done for us. And I think you would agree that some of the stories coming through have been incredibly encouraging. Perhaps some of them have been heartbreaking, but they've all been moving us toward God. So the numbers haven't been quite what I expected, but hey, the overall cultural change I think is good. So I've decided, however, in reflection, to name this the year of the dark horse. The year of the dark horse. You won't find this in any Chinese astrological years. The year of the dark horse. Because something's been happening While I've been fixated a bit on the God stories process and trying to encourage that, something has been happening throughout this year that has been incredibly encouraging as I look back on it. And it's not something, it's someone. Someone has been a real dark horse. You know, this is a term that comes out of the racing world, right? A horse that no one really knows makes it very hard for people to predict where it will place. And so the bookies tear their hair out. This could be the winner. How do you put the odds on it? Or it could come dead last. The dark horse is the one that you don't know. It's the unpredictable factor. And the unpredictable factor this year, who has surprised me, though perhaps I shouldn't have been surprised, who has delighted me in what he has achieved this year, is Daniel Eyre. He's done a fantastic job for 24/7 youth work. Not only has he done a great job, his heart is for ministry. I don't know how many people saw that coming. Not only that, but he wanted to be baptized and encouraged his mates to do the same. He showed leadership. A lot of people will say, well, I'm going to be baptized and then leave it to others. He said, I'm going to be baptized. You guys are too. He showed leadership. And he also was a driving motivation behind the 24 hours of prayer for the youth. He's a dark horse. No one saw him coming. I don't know if you spotted it. I don't know if you recognized it. He is an emerging Christian leader in our midst. And it'll be easy to miss him because he's so laid back, unassuming. He also delivered his first sermon this year. We should be grateful to God for everyone. But I just wanted to point this one out this year in review. The year of the dark horse, the emergence of Daniel. Who knows where it'll happen next? I'm almost secretly pleased he's not here. He might not get out the doors. His head will be so big. He doesn't really need to know. Let's keep this on the down low. Let's just keep treating him like he's, you know, like he's a Daniel. There have been others. There are some runner-ups in my mind. But that's when I reflect on the year, that's what I come to. Finally. Oh, sorry, wrong way. Next year. So we don't have any grand theme at this point. We, as an elders, have been working through our values and discussing those and praying into them personally and then coming together as an eldership team and talking about them and recognizing that really these are foundational as God has given them to us as a church so that the house is built. Not built as we might want him to build it, not building as we might want to build it, but building as he has told us to. So next year, as we're going to have the AGM, as I mentioned, we're going to talk about our finances. We're also going to talk about these values. We're going to do a series, a teaching series on the values. And out of that, we're going to invite you into a more deliberate, intentional planning process. How do we flesh these values out? How do we live these? How do we do it corporately and individually? The values being intentional community. That's the picture itself, the whole picture. It's about simplicity, momentum, expectancy, and experience. So we're going to do those next year. There's opportunities that have come our way to think through some things. FEBC is wondering whether they could increase their office space, which might mean closing the office, the corridor, putting a door in there. Now, we haven't decided on that, but we're looking at it. Would that be something that is a good use of that space, or as we reflect and pray with God about what he wants to do with us as a church, do we decide, no, actually, we want that space for other things? We haven't made those decisions. We are prayerfully reflecting on them. So we've got those things and others in mind. So that's what we want to do next year. Come February, hopefully, we'll be launching into that as a series. And, of course, we're always, as an eldership, inviting you into a prayerful conversation with us about what you believe God is saying to us as a church. It's not a closed conversation. It doesn't require a particular moment for you to say, oh, well, I'm allowed to at this point. Anytime, come forward. I'd also say we would be looking for more elders next year as well. David will be in his last, you're already in your last term, last year, so we need to find someone to take David's place, and maybe even another one or two to broaden the load, as it were. As I said, one thing that we've really been hit by this year is quite unexpected personal issues among the eldership that have made it harder to carry all the load. So more shoulders make for lighter work. So we put that before you as well as we close out the year to think about who else could join the team. Anyone want to make any final comments? That's been my review of 2019. I get the privilege to do that as a pastor. But does anyone else want to make any comments before we wrap up? Say again, sorry? That was the year before. Yeah. Yeah, I know, time's flying, Alan.
You're not shutting the door on the God stories,
are you? No, we're not shutting the door on the God stories. We're hoping, and it will happen, there will be an app that you'll be able to get on your smartphone, which will enable you to actually, to put a God story in, and everyone who is in the church and has signed up to it will see it, so that I don't have to keep emailing them out on a Wednesday. You'll get them immediately and can respond to them even if you wanted to. So it's a way of using technology to help us build intentional community. So that's been a project that's been ongoing. Any other comments? No?